Imagine you're walking down the road and you see a foreign dignitary by the road reading the scriptures with a puzzled look on his face. You walk up to him and he says, "Explain to me what I'm reading." Well, if you're the Apostle Philip, you don't miss a beat. Philip was able to evangelize on the spur of the moment, and he exemplified that verse in the book of 1 Peter, which says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." I'm Bill Armstrong of Colorado Christian University, where we try to always be ready to share our faith. Check us out at www.ccu.edu.
You know, Chuck, this is a perfect song for Sunday morning.
Yeah, except that I don't think you should be dancing in the studio on Sunday morning.
Well, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart.
All right, that's all right. What,
you know what I'm saying? You are listening to You Get the Blessing with Chuck King, and I'm Biff Gore, and we're filling in for Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell. And this morning, we have an incredible guest for you, but we're going to hear just a few more seconds of this song. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I wish we were on television so people could see this.
If I could, I'd do some high kicks in here. Oh, yeah, and you should love him, too. Well, this morning we have with us in studio Mr. Kerry Coffey, who is the new executive director of Teen Challenge. Welcome, Mr. Coffey.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to all who are listening to our program. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. I love your last name, Coffey. I often say that coffee is the nectar of fellowship, and what a great name. What a great last name to have.
My dad certainly had a sense of humor, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and his father's father, too.
Yes, sir.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Coffey.
Well, I'm 53 years old. My wife, Deb, and I have two children.
You don't look a day over 25.
And that's a good 25, too, my brother. I like to tell people I'm 53, but I'm a good 53.
Okay.
This is actually the third opportunity I've had to be a Teen Challenge executive director. About 9 years ago, I took the executive directorship for the men's program in Memphis, Tennessee. I hope you all can understand my southern accent. I carry that with me pridefully wherever I can go. And then Deb and I had the East Coast Teen Challenge program for teenage boys that covered the entire Eastern Seaboard until you got to Florida. And we're very pleased to have been recruited by this board of directors to become the new executive director, Teen Challenge Rocky Mountains. Well, I've been here since July.
Oh, that is amazing. Can you tell me a little bit about the origins of Teen Challenge?
You bet. I'm sure a lot of the folks listening have heard of the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. The Reverend David Wilkerson, 26-year-old Pennsylvania Hill preacher, back in 1958, he felt that God wanted him to come to New York City to minister to a group of gang members who had accosted and beaten to death a disabled little boy. Their pictures were actually on the front page of the cover of Life magazine, and that's where he first began to get a burden from God to go to New York City and minister to those boys. Making a long story short, he arrived on the first day of court, and this was a big international event at that time. Unfortunately, the society we live in today, this is kind of a common occurrence. But in those days, even in New York, that was a big thing. It was covered actually internationally. And so here's this country preacher with his suit and tie on, his black leather King James Bible with him. And he goes into the courtroom and he makes a fool of himself and telling the judge that he is sent here by God to minister to these boys. The judge thought he was a nut and threw him out. The police actually picked him up and bodily took him out of the courtroom.
Whoa.
And when they got him outside of the double doors of the courtroom, of course, all these photographers are going to say, "Hey, preacher, hold up that Bible and smile for us." So he did, out of his ignorance and being naive, knowing that's probably not a real good move. But we know that what the devil would want to cause for concern is something that God turns around. Mm. And Wilkerson did not know that that famous picture of him holding his Bible up was going to go to national and international papers. He made the cover of New York Times, New York Post, and the gang kids from Brooklyn and New York saw that article, and they connected David Wilkerson to themselves. Their reason was the police don't like you. They surely don't like us. So therefore, you're one of us. And God opened the door for Dave Wilkerson to start to minister to the addicts, gang members in New York City. And he discovered right off the bat that in order for these young people to continue the commitment to Jesus Christ, to continue that new way of life, they really need to get off the streets. They needed a safe place to go. What we might call three hots in a cot, but they needed love, they needed support. You were not going to get out on the streets. Through a series of miracles, financial miracles, he was able to open the first residential teen challenge program. That was in 1960. It is still there, located at 416 Clinton Avenue in Brooklyn. It's actually a landmark now for the state of New York City. He continued to minister to addicts, to gang members, up to the middle 60s with great success. The church, the body of Christ, and even the secular world, judges, policemen, social workers, they had never seen such radical changes from gang members and addicts actually set free, not going back to the needle, not going back to the bottle. They couldn't understand it. God had a plan with now a national exposure. Back in 1964, John and Elizabeth Sherrill were the editors of Guidepost magazine. They heard about David Wilkerson's exploits in the street of New York, actually through the Catholic Diocese in New York, which was the first church denomination, if you wanted to call those folks that, who came to Wilkerson's side and said, "We like what you're doing, and we're going to support you financially with other resources." So these Catholic priests got in touch with John and Elizabeth and said, "You've got to come to New York. You have got to see this. We've never seen this kind of thing before. We think it'd be a good story for Guidepost." John and Elizabeth followed Wilkerson around in the streets for a couple of weeks. They saw miracles. They saw things they had never seen. John Sherrill says to David Wilkerson, "No, this is not going to be an article in Guidepost. This has to be a book." So they helped him write and edit The Cross and the Switchblade, which today, within Christianity, other than the Bible, is the world's best-selling book historically.
Wow.
It is now printed in just about every language you can imagine on the face of the earth.
That's amazing. So this is the beginnings of
the something. Beginnings of Teen Challenge.
Okay. And Teen Challenge was originally started to get these kids off the street and show them the love of Jesus Christ.
That's correct.
But it's morphed into something greater than that, because all of the people that I've known who've ever gone through Teen Challenge were adults. And I think when you hear the name Teen Challenge, you think, "Oh, okay, well, I have to be a kid to go through to be impacted by this program." But is that true?
No, it's not true. And a lot of folks bring that to our attention. They say, "Hey, you know, I'm an adult, or my loved one is an adult with an addiction or life-controlling problem, but we can't be in your program because he's not a teenager." We say, "No, ma'am, the door is open for any and all." We are under the division of the home missions of the Assemblies of God in terms of authority and accountabilities. And because of the historical value of Teen Challenge, David Wilkerson, The Cross and the Switchblade, I have a feeling we're probably never going to change the name Teen Challenge, but we want people to know it's available to anyone.
That is amazing.
Yes.
That is amazing. How many? So, okay, you have Teen Challenge. You're here in the Rocky Mountains. Where exactly are you located, or how many facilities do you have around the country?
Well, let's start internationally. Internationally, we have over 400 residential programs of various kinds, and Russia and China have now contacted Teen Challenge saying, "Come on in. We have a drug problem. We're not going to interfere with the way you folks do your program, but you're welcome." So we're going to be planning some Teen Challenge programs even in Russia and China.
Amen.
Just in the United States, we've got nearly 200 residential programs for men, women with children, teenage boys and teenage girls.
Okay. Is this a free program, or is this a program that if you are accepted in the program, how is it paid for?
Most Teen Challenge programs are a minimum of 1 year in duration. Most Teen Challenge programs, it will cost you some monthly tuition. We are not supported by insurance. Insurance companies will fund what is called the medical model of addictions counseling. In other words, it's a gene somewhere deeply implanted in your brain. You can't help it. Once an addict, always an addict. We will define it as a disease. Teen Challenge is what is called a faith-based methodology of addictions counseling. we believe what the Bible says about this thing called the sin nature, and we all will act out the sin nature in various ways, and unfortunately, some addictive behaviors is part of that. So most insurance companies, they're not going to touch a faith-based program. We do have operational expenses. You've got to keep the lights on. You've got to feed people. You've got to pay staff. So most programs will have a tuition attached to it, but we do usually have scholarships available.
Amen.
How do people who are on the street, addicted, unemployed, how do they come up with that tuition if they don't get a scholarship?
Well, brother, here's what we say. If you show me someone who is what we call amenable to treatment, I'm broken, I'm humbled, I'm willing to do whatever I have to get off the streets, then I can only speak for our teen challenge. You're coming into the program.
Okay. Now, you've talked about our teen challenge and teen challenges around the country. Are these all independent organizations?
Well, we are under the division of the Assemblies of God and Home Missions. We do have a national and an international governing board, Teen Challenge USA International, that functions out of Springfield, Missouri, which is actually the home of the Assemblies of God. So we are accredited. We have an accreditation handbook, but we have to meet certain standards of programming. But you'd be surprised at the level of autonomy that Teen Challenge programs do have.
So how many people are involved in a program in a place like the city of Denver?
Just in Denver, we have our men's residential program. It's called 180 Ministries. It's located in downtown Denver. I believe we have 7-8 staff persons to provide programming for up to 20 men.
Okay. And the usual duration of those participants is 1 year?
Minimum 1 year. We do have other program components available if a guy's just not ready in terms of other what we call major life domains, employment, financial stability, that sort of thing. We encourage those men to stay on for additional months in what we call a reentry phase to the program.
And how do you measure success, and what do you consider to be your success rate?
Now, this is what's astounding. If you were to ask that question to what we call your typical standard 30-day secular addictions program, and by the way, I used to be involved in that. I came out of hospital administration, addiction psych, before I came into administration for Teen Challenge. Those people would be able to say, well, based on the number of people we track, although we don't track people who leave our 30-day program, we're probably looking at about a 2 to 3% success rate. Even our latest studies per centers with Teen Challenge programs, we're still looking at a 70 to 90% success rate. The federal government measures what we call recidivism rate, that if someone has been off drugs or alcohol permanently for a 5-year period, you're considered, quote, cured, unquote. 70 to 90%, we're still there after all these years.
Wow. That's a testament to the power of God and how he impacts people through these incredible programs such as Teen Challenge. How were you introduced to Teen Challenge?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm like most people who are working for Teen Challenge, I'm an ex-addict alcoholic myself. I went through the Teen Challenge program in Kansas City. I'm Kansas City class of 1982 graduate. I first became involved in Teen Challenge when I was in my sixth rehab program in a state hospital in Missouri. I was bored one day in the activity area, and I saw a paperback book that was just in tatters on a table, and it had a picture of a young man running with a knife in his hand. The book was called The Cross and the Switchblade. And I read that book. I literally couldn't put it down. I read that whole book cover to cover within just a couple of hours. And it's a fairly large-sized book. The only book I can ever remember that completely caught my attention.
Wow.
And that exposed me to the idea that God might be real, that God might love me, that God might well be this supernatural, all-empowering being who could set me free from my addictions, which doctors and programs couldn't do. So I cried out to God in a college dorm room on November the 11th of 1979. I was being witnessed to by a young man, a dorm roommate who had become a Christian and had encouraged me to cry out to God and actually challenge God, set you free. Well, I did, and he did. And
the rest is history.
I still had what we call some emotional baggage in my life. Most people work in addictions will have some baggage, And I was clinically what you would call a dry drunk for about 3 years of sobriety. I wasn't using, but in my heart, I still had the anger and the rage. I wanted to go home and kick the dog and that kind of thing. So I checked myself into the Teen Challenge program in Kansas City and graduated that program. God healed me of a lot of internal, what we call relapse triggers. Haven't been the same since.
Wow. What's the general methodology that makes Teen Challenge so successful compared to other programs?
Okay. We stress three things. Number one, a yielded relationship with Jesus. Okay. Number two, a yielded relationship to the Bible as the Word of God. And number three, being empowered through the baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit, receiving the power of God. That's the key.
You are listening to You Get the Blessing. We have as our guest this morning, Kerry Coffey. This is Chuck King sitting in for Bo Mitchell, and my co-host this morning is Biff Gore sitting in for Bob Belts. What a great story we're hearing from Kerry. He knows what he speaks about from personal experience, and he is the executive director of Teen Challenge of Colorado.
Yes. So, married, kids?
Deb and I have been married for 14 years now. We have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Oh, nice. So you have a home full of joy and noise.
We do. How did you know those key words, joy and noise? Have you been there yourself, my brother?
I'm experiencing it right now. I actually have six children at home, and they are wonderful, but they are joyful and they are noisy, which is good and sometimes challenging.
Yes, sir. Preach that, my brother.
So, okay, Assemblies of God, are you new to the area?
We are new to this area. Okay. I will let our listening audience know I am a licensed minister with the Assembly of God. Most of us executive directors are either licensed or ordained within the denomination. But we have been in this area since July, and we love Denver.
Wow. And so what's your – I know you work – I mean, I would say the Teen Challenge is parachurch ministry, even though you're doing the great work of the church.
That's correct.
Which is healing people from – and setting people free by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is your local church?
Well, Deb and I, we felt that God led us to move to Parker, which is a sort of a suburb. It's a nice town just outside of Denver. And we attend Parker Christian Center. We're very pleased. Great pastor, great congregation.
Oh, that's amazing.
So How do most of the people come into your program? I assume people aren't court ordered into the program.
Some are. I can give you a statistical breakdown.
Okay.
And these are rough statistics nationally. 70% of people in a Teen Challenge program are what we call self-referred. I'm desperate. I'm humble. My wife told me, you're either going to get off the booze or I'm taking the kids and we're out of here. There are a number of different reasons why somebody might pick up a phone and refer themselves to a Teen Challenge program. Another 10% have been referred by a loved one, usually a mother, father, or a spouse. And the rest of the percentage have been referred usually from juvenile and adult probation and parole.
So if someone is in a broken state and they need help, what's the process to get into the Denver Teen Challenge?
Okay. The first thing to do would be to actually call our administrative office. Could I feel free to give that number?
Please give that number.
Okay, that number is 303-985-1776. Let me give that again, 303-985-1776. And ask to speak with me, Kerry Coffey. And I'm going to take a few moments to talk with you. I'm going to ask you who you are, your gender, your age, share your history. Why are you calling? And I'm going to be formulating in my mind how we can best help you. If you're an adult male, 17 and one half or over, I will refer you to our downtown men's program. I would have you call our Reverend Daniel Petruski, who's our center director for 180 Ministries. If it is a woman or a woman with child, I would be referring you to our Olathe, Colorado residential program. In Utah, we have a residential program for teenage girls. I would have to refer a teenage boy out of our programs for right now. But we're working on that. We are looking at some expanding and planning some other Teen Challenge type of programs within our catchment area.
Do you have a website?
We do. It is, teenchallengerm.org.
So Teen Challenge
RM,
which stands for RockyMountain.org. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I know that I know that Teen Challenge has been making a huge difference in everyone's life. And I'm amazed. We run a program at our church called the Alpha Program, which is a basic introduction into who Jesus Christ is and in all these different phases. And one of the books that they talk about in the program is The Switchblade and the Cross, or The Cross and the Switchblade. And it really has made a huge impact on people's lives since it was written. How do you see churches coming alongside, other churches coming alongside? I know you're Assemblies of God, but the body of Christ and God's vineyard is huge. I don't happen to be Assemblies of God. I'm actually Evangelical Presbyterian, but how can we work together as churches, people who call on the name of Jesus, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are obedient to the word of God, as you said, how can we all come together and impact the kingdom through Teen Challenge?
You bet. And I'm glad you asked that. We're not exclusively just, resourced and supported by Assembly of God churches. And frankly, nationally, the Presbyterian Church of the United States is the number one financial supporter of Teen Challenge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. We tell churches this. We can partner together in any number of ways, but the big thing is we're here to serve you, to serve your congregation. We can share with a youth pastor, a young adult pastor. How can you tell if somebody in your flock may have an addiction-related problem? And how do you approach that, even if you have some suspicions? We do a lot of training and teaching with pastoral staffs on just the basics of that. We're always needing financial support of other resources to run centers, volunteers. We need mentors, especially men. Most of the men in our program were raised in a home without a real father. Mm-hmm. And we're needing men's groups to come forward and say, you know what, I'll mentor that boy. I'll share that with that boy how to be a man of God and give him God's love. So there's any number of ways that we can partner with one another.
I think that's amazing. So if a church wants to get involved, probably the best way would be through your website?
Through the website, or just pick up the phone and call me. We'll talk. We'll find a way to get involved. Okay. We'll always put somebody at the table.
And I know that one of the things you need right now this time of the year are financial resources. You've got a big fundraiser coming up. Tell us about that.
We do. December the 9th, Colorado Gives Days. That is a big day for nonprofits throughout the state of Colorado. We're on the table there. So December the 9th is Colorado Gives Day. Anyone who would like to contribute financially to Teen Challenge of the Rocky Mountains, just go on coloradogives.org, and the website will give you the step-by-step procedure to donate. We would really appreciate that, and we need it right now.
What kind of qualifications does a person need to be a mentor in your program?
You have to be someone who loves God, who has a yielded relationship with Jesus Christ, who has a passion to teach others. Obviously, the best mentors we found are older people because we have gray in our hair. Most of us have been there, done that. We've lived some life. But we would look at anyone who says, I'd like to be a mentor. We would see if we could find a way to make that happen. Our young ladies in our Olathe program, they have come out of such dysfunctional family situations. It's always helpful when you get a Christian woman who says, you know what, I would like to be a mentor to a young lady in her late teens, early 20s that has a child and has no clue of how to live life, especially life as a Christian.
Do you offer training to those mentors?
We do. We offer training, supervision, very intensive training, very intensive supervision.
And what are the risks involved in being a mentor?
Well, you can't be what we call a codependent individual. We understand that we're not called to save the world. And if I have some major unresolved issues of my own, the psychobabble term for that is transference. I usually will transfer my issues into the life of another. And after a while, I find that I'm what's called a professional caretaker rescuer. That would not be an appropriate mentorship because that's a dependent relationship. We're looking for people who are mature spiritually and are mature and grounded emotionally as well.
You know, Carrie, we're entering that time of the year when a lot of people hit bottom for a whole lot of reasons. And I'm guessing there's someone out there listening today who has a need to talk to someone like yourself. Tell us what that person needs to do. What do you have to say to that person?
You bet. I have a lot to say to that person. Part of my background also was law enforcement chaplaincy. And people in law enforcement, in social services, in the counseling realm, we understand that starting Thanksgiving Day through about the first week of January, that is high time for depression, for anxiety, for people who are lonely, for people who've come out of dysfunctional family environments, and the memories are not very good. That Christmas Day is when my family got together and they called each other names, and there was physical and emotional abuse, and so people are harboring a lot of what we call negativism. We want you to know that there's a friend out there. For one thing, you have the body of Christ that's a friend. I'm looking at my brother's folks around this table here. There's not one of us around this table that wouldn't put our arm around somebody who says, I'm hurting and I'm lonely. I'm increasing my drinking or drugging because of the season now, and I could just use somebody to talk to. We're there for you for Teen Challenge especially.
But somebody is saying, but I've been there, I've tried that, it's hopeless. There's no way of solving my problem.
Here's what I do. If I can meet to that person personally, I put my hand out to shake a hand and say, welcome to hope. If God can change me and turn my heart around, he can change you and turn your heart around. There's no such thing as hopelessness.
That's amazing. 30 seconds. I want you to tell us about Teen Challenge and take us out. Okay.
Teen Challenge is there for you. 80% of people who enter a Teen Challenge program these days are from the church. Don't think that just because you're a Christian listening that we're not there for you. We are there for you. We love. We're not a pointed finger of condemnation and a critical spirit. We just want to wrap our arms around you and your loved ones, your family, and give you God's love. And we're capable of doing that.
Well, we want to thank you. This has been You Get the Blessing with Biff Gore and Chuck King sitting in for Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell. And we want to wish you a very happy Sunday.
I must follow him. Ever since he touched my hand, I knew.